Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and then 44 through 52. And I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding 1 pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I want to start with a question for you. And I've really been looking forward all week to hearing the answers to this. So I'm going to ask you can raise your hand, and I'll call on, I think, maybe 3 of you. We'll have time for about 3. What is the worst job you have ever had? Something has to come to mind right away. What is the worst job that you have ever had? Anyone want to start us with that? Suzanne.
I worked in Jack in the Box.
Suzanne worked in Jack in the Box. For how long?
For 2 days.
What was so bad about it? Now, they say that those registers, like at McDonald's, are so simple that a chimpanzee could use them. That was years ago, right? That was years ago, so before they've improved them. So, thank you. Susan, I saw someone else. Was Jim. You had your...
I worked on a Mr. Softy truck.
A Mr. Softy truck.
I was one of those people. It's dinner time.
So, how long did you do that?
2 summers.
2 summers. Okay, so what was so awful about it then? You kept coming back. What was so awful?
Well, each night I had to plug the truck into the central place. And sometimes the power would go out overnight. So then I had to open up the containers and smell if the milk had gone sour.
So if the job was so awful, then what made you come back for that next summer?
My cousin owned the truck. And he wouldn't take me to the beach unless I...
Okay, all right, so there was a deal going on there. Anyone else? Wait, one more? Worst job? Jeanette.
I worked in a factory one summer.
Okay, factory is very vague in general. What kind of factory did you work in? You don't even know what they made in this factory. Okay, so how long did you stay there?
I stayed through the summer because I needed the money.
Okay.
So I stayed through, but the best thing that happened is I met somebody else who didn't work there regularly, and so they were there this summer. So we sat next to each other.
And commiserated.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Okay, so the worst job that I ever had was the summer after my sophomore year in college, when I worked at Steak and Shake. So Suzanne, I'm with you on the. You know Steak and Shake? It's a fast food. It's not fast food. It's good food quickly. Is how they taught us to say that. It's a burger place. So I worked at Steak and Shake. I was a cook working the main grill. So for 8 hours a day, I stood over a 400 degree grill cooking up to 40 hamburgers at a time. I smelled like absolute death when I went home at the end of the day. And it was so hot. I mean, you're standing over this 400 degree grill nonstop, 8 hours. They made us wear these little paper hats and latex gloves while you're working, so things to just make you hotter. But with such a hot grill and so many burgers cooking, grease was constantly snapping and popping up onto my arms and my face and my hands. So about an hour or so into a shift, I can remember looking down at my hands, and the grease had melted all of the fingers off of my latex gloves. So I had like half gloves on. And there was nowhere for all of that melting latex to go but into the burgers. I could not bring myself to eat a burger for about 6 months after I worked there. Not just at Steak and Shake, anywhere. I was done with them. I was sick of it. I hated everything about that job. The heat, the smell, the time that I had to get in to prep everything to start. It was early days there. The people that I worked with, even the customers, all of it was miserable. But I stuck it out 40 hours a week for the entire summer because I needed money for when I went back to school. Now, I'm going to make a bit of a jump here, but hear me out. It's like this past week at Vacation Bible School. So, right away, don't get the wrong idea. I love being involved with Vacation Bible School. It's an incredible opportunity to teach kids about faith. I mean, you have 15 concentrated hours with kids during the week. When do you ever get that? I love that I get to interact with them in an informal setting where I can have they can have fun with their pastor and they can see me being silly. I think that's really important. The problem is my role at Vacation Bible School is to teach the kids songs. And if you have ever spent any time around Vacation Bible School or heard these songs, you know what they are like and how they bore themselves into your brain and drive you crazy. Times a day, every day this past week, and that's not including the times that I had to go over it to learn it for myself so I could teach it to the kids. The song, the opening hymn that we sang, To God Be the Glory, that was one of the songs that we sang during, well, that it was on the DVD to teach them during the week. We didn't sing it during the week. They took this beautiful hymn that we sang at the beginning, and they turned it into a rap song to teach the kids. And it was so complicated and difficult with all the gestures, I said, we're not going to do that, but... You know, and then we would get into the car with our kids, and they would say, can we listen to the songs from Vacation Bible School? And I'm like, oh, Lord, please, no. You know, it's like the scene from The Shining, the movie with Jack Nicholson, where Jack Nicholson goes insane and he types the same phrase over and over and over again on hundreds of sheets of paper. That's me by Wednesday mornings of Vacation Bible School. But as much as those songs drive me crazy, I keep doing it because it's an opportunity to teach these kids about God's love. Not even in the same ballpark as working at Steak and Shake, but it illustrates the point that sometimes we do something that we don't necessarily like because of the reward that's waiting at the end. Jacob worked for Laban for 7 years to marry his daughter Rachel, only for Laban to trick him into marrying his other daughter, Leah. So then Jacob worked for another 7 years to marry Rachel. We don't know exactly what kind of work Jacob had to do. Presumably, it was tending Laban's sheep, since the preceding verses reference that. But the point is that Jacob worked for 14 years in a job that he probably would not have otherwise chosen because of the reward waiting for him at the end, Rachel. And it says that those years seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Jacob had a clear sense of what held the greatest value in his life, marrying Rachel. And he was willing to do whatever it took to make that happen. Jesus talks about how the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. Someone's working in the field and they find it, and then they cover it back up to keep it secret and safe while he goes off and sells everything that he owns in order to buy that field so that the treasure is his. He talks about how the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and then when he finds a pearl of great value, he sells everything that he has and he buys it. They identify what holds the greatest value in their life, and they make sacrifices to get it. Now, this could easily be a sermon about do whatever it takes to get what you want most in life. But that's the way that the world works, the kingdom of man. What Jesus is talking about here is the kingdom of God. And Jesus is not questioning our motivation, will you do what it takes to get what you want? Jesus is questioning our desires. Make sure that what you value most in life is worth the sacrifice that you have to make to get it. It's like Lou Giglio writes in the quote on the cover of the bulletin, we have got to make sure that the thing we declare to be of greatest value is really worthy after all. Look at where you're putting the bulk of your time, your energy, your money, and you will find that which is of greatest value to you. For some people, it's work, it's their jobs. For some people, it's their families. For some people, it's money, material possessions. For some people, it's feeding an addiction. For some people, it's their faith and serving others. Not all bad things, right? It's just that the object of our devotion is going to make demands of us. We're going to have to sacrifice other aspects of our lives to get it. And is it worth it? Where do you invest the bulk of your time, your energy, your money? What do you value most in life? And is it truly worth your devotion? Jesus tells another parable, saying that the kingdom of God is like a net that's thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. And when the net was full, they draw it ashore and they sort through it. And some of the fish was good to eat, some of it was not. So they kept the good fish and they threw out the bad fish. In life, not everything that comes our way, not every reward or object of our devotion is good for us. We have to discern what is nourishing for us and what is not. And there are some things that we have to get rid of. What in your life is keeping you from what is truly good and worthy? Jesus goes on to talk about how at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's this apocalyptic statement that doesn't seem to fit with the rest of the parables. But what it shows us is that this process of discernment and devotion is not trivial or inconsequential. The choices that we make about what is of greatest worth to us, about how we invest our time and our energy and our devotion, about what we keep and what we get rid of in life, those choices matter and have eternal implications. It reminds me of a quote from the movie Gladiator, where he says, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." What we do in life echoes in eternity. So we have to make sure that what we're doing, what we're choosing, is truly worth it. I love how at the end of these parables, Jesus asks his disciples, have you understood all this? And they say, yes. Or it could be more like, yes. Yeah, we understand you, Jesus. And then Jesus says, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of God is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. A scribe was an expert in Jewish law, someone who had been trained in Jewish law. They understood all the ins and outs of it. A scribe who had been trained in the kingdom of God, as Jesus says here, is an expert in Jewish law who then takes up the way of Jesus. So they're versed in the old way and the new way. And what Jesus says here is that they're like someone who's organizing their house. They have to decide what to keep and what to get rid of. Choosing, sorting between what is old and what is new. We bring to this journey of faith that we are on a whole lifetime of experiences and background and good stuff and bad stuff and things that we've been taught and joy and sadness and pain and fears. We bring all of that with us. We carry it with us through life. And what Jesus is saying here is part of following me involves this process of figuring out what you need to hold on to and what you need to let go of. Just because it came to you doesn't mean it's good for you. Maybe it's keeping you from what is truly of greatest value. Maybe it's time to let go of it. Jesus uses this word here, treasure. He says it's like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is old and what is new. It's a strange word to use there, to bring out of his treasure. But it's a word that Jesus uses several other times in Matthew's gospel. At one point he says, the good person brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. And then at another point he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's like when we've taught our kids how to ride their bicycles. I teach them in the lawn, out in the grass, going down a hill. It's kind of easier to get your balance that way. So we start on one side of the yard, and I say, you see that tree over there on the other side of the yard? That is where you want to go. Keep looking at that tree. If you're riding and you turn your head to look over there, you're going to start veering over there. Keep looking at that tree. If you keep your eyes fixed on that tree, you will get there. What are your eyes fixed on? What is of greatest value to you? For where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be, and your life will bear witness to it. So make sure that your treasure really worth it. Gracious God, we pray that you help us to keep our eyes fixed on your kingdom, on your will being done in this world and in our lives, on what is truly good and of greatest value. Help us to make our lives about that. To find this treasure that you have hidden in our hearts and in this world. give ourselves to it, to sacrifice for it. We ask that you would strengthen our wills, our hearts, our minds, so that we could go out from here and live in ways that bear witness to your goodness and your glory, showing the world that you are of greatest value to us. Give ourselves to you in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus, whom you gave to us. Amen.